Good morning. It's 9 o'clock. It is the first Friday of the month, and that means it's time for the Plant Rant with Sandra the Plant Lady. Good morning, Sandra.
Good morning. Beautiful day.
Oh, isn't this something? Sun is shining. We're supposed to, I think, tomorrow get up in the upper 60s.
Wow. Oh, good.
Yeah. I think by Monday, somewhere in the middle 70s. We can live with that.
Yeah, I would say so. Well, believe it or not, for the first time since last March, I have a special guest this morning who's going to share a little information with us.
Okay.
And I think we'll just start with that today.
All right.
So I'm going to pass the phone over to my special guest, and he will introduce himself and share his message with everyone.
Hello, my name is Anthony Michelle. Today I'm going to talk about how you can save the bees. The bee population is decreasing because people use pesticides and weed killers, and there's a virus going on, and it's not COVID-19. The life cycle of the plants are seed, germination, young adult, and adult with seed. The bee's life cycle is egg, larva, pupa, and adult. The plants you should plant are dandelions, coneflowers, sunflowers, and daisies. Dandelions are one of the first flowers to bloom in the spring, and the bees need the dandelions because they don't have much to eat when they come out of hibernation. Do you like to eat fruits and vegetables? You wouldn't be able to eat fruits and vegetables if there wasn't any bees to pollinate the trees and plants they come off of. Please stop using pesticides and weed killers. And plant more flowers and leave the dandelions alone so they can grow and help the bees do their job and survive. Thank you.
Good job, bud. All right, so that was my special guest today to remind everybody about how important the bees are.
I got to ask you a question, Sandra. Did you tell me you homeschool?
Yes.
He reads pretty darn good.
He does a great job, yes.
Wow.
He's
got a future
reader.
In radio.
And he did not just read that. He read that. He wrote that also.
Well, he wrote it.
So he didn't just, he's reading, but excellently, yes. And
yeah.
But that's also his own writing. It's not like I gave him a script. That was a project he did for science where they had to do a public service announcement.
Sure.
About saving the bees. And I thought, he's in a position where he can actually do a public service announcement.
Absolutely.
So he was interested in doing that. So
good deal. You could have him for a guest more often.
I know. I know. Oh, he'd love to come in when we're back in the studio. He would love that.
Well, we'd love to have him.
So
we're waiting breathlessly for the day, I'm telling you.
Me too. Me too. So what is going on? How is all that? I've been seeing the pictures of the crazy construction there, or destruction at this point. And, you know, on the topic here of Plant Rant, they cut all the trees down.
Yep.
I know that you talk with the folks in the city pretty regularly. And, you know, there's the saying that the best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago and the next best time is today. So do you have any idea what the plan is? Or
as far as I know, and I'm talking out of turn here, I've just at meetings that I've seen and words that I've heard, the plan is to do the replacement, but I don't think there's a replacement of trees in the plan. But I don't know that, so I'm maybe speaking out of turn.
Oh, well, that would be something to look into because trees, you know, I grew up in St. Paul and, you know, and am old enough to remember the elm trees. And just, it was like driving down, you know, you drive down Maryland and it was like going through a tunnel. Because those big trees with the big canopy, and there's just something, you know, special. You know, well, fortunately, there's still, you know, Farm Table has their lovely garden, and there's nice parks in town. But
there are
many
parks.
And they do the planters and things like that. So hopefully, hopefully there'll be some way to soften up the edges.
Well, you know, and I wish I had talked to you before, because I just had the mayor in here at 8:30 this morning talking about the construction. Next time he's on, I will, hopefully, I'll remember to ask him that question.
Yeah, please do, because I'm very... I, and I know that, you know, lots of folks in town, I have actually several friends who have businesses on Main Street.
Sure.
You know, so that's where I've been, you know, people are sharing the pictures and things like that.
Sure.
Well, hopefully something will change. Otherwise, everyone get some pots. Trees can grow in pots, so you can put your own trees in pots outside on the front sidewalk there.
Well, I've got to make a note here to remember to talk to Paul about that, because I thought about that when I saw him taking the trees. And I understand they had to take the trees out. You can't do what has to be done unless you do it. But I don't know what the plans are for replacement.
Sure.
And nowadays, you know, you can get trees that grow narrow, that don't fill way out, and cover signs and that sort of thing. So
they have so many, they have, you know, male selections, so they don't have the seeds or you don't have fruit. They've got, you know, many plants that are tolerant to, you know, because part of the thing when you have these trees in the sidewalks and that, there's lots of compaction.
Oh, yeah.
There's going to be a high pH. That soil becomes alkaline from all of that, you know, concrete.
Sure.
But there are so many great trees that can handle the pH, can handle the compaction, aren't going to have fruits and seeds that are going to be, you know, narrow or of a form where they're not going to get in the way. So,
just takes planning.
Yes, it just takes planning. And there's plenty of places, you know, I mean, Dragonfly Gardens is right in town. I'm sure they'd be happy to do some consulting. And,
Sure. So. Well, there's lots of places, we may be talking out of turn here. May have planned that. I just didn't think to ask about it.
Sure. Well, we'll find out. Then we can talk next month, and I should make a note to ask you again for next month. So we had the equinox on the 20th, so that is exciting. Our days are now getting longer.
They sure are.
What crazy weather. Anthony's been doing a project now this time around in science with weather. And so he was keeping track of the weather for like a week or whatever, and the temperature, and it was just all over the place.
It sure was.
70 one day, and then 40 the next day, and then up and down. And on that note with the weather, you know, last month we talked about maple syrup.
Mm-hmm.
And I talked to some folks who did some syruping this year, and it was an okay flow, I guess. But it was because that of such an up and down with the temperature.
Yeah.
It really made a difference to how the syrup flows with that temperature being so up and down.
Well, our guy, Eddie Schmidt, makes maple syrup just for his own amusement. And I think he's tapped like, 10 or 11 trees or something like that. And they got a lot. A very lot. I don't know how it's, something like 40 gallons, which cooked down into what?
Right. Well, isn't that the thing? Right?
Yeah, it is the thing. You need the high flow. But he said it was a good year as far as he was concerned.
Good. Good.
And I don't know. I haven't talked to any others that are in the maple tree business or maple syrup business, but I think it was a good year.
Good.
I hope.
Well, the end product is always good no matter what.
Absolutely.
So. Oh. Yeah, that's fun.
Put that maple syrup over some good vanilla ice cream.
Oh, and with a little bit of sunflower, salted sunflower seeds on the top of that.
Sure, you just keep adding and adding, don't you?
Hey, I know it's good.
I know.
So with the equinox having come around, and now there are some other true signs of spring out there, aside from the longer days, I heard the peepers.
Oh.
I just love those little guys. And then there was one day I was pretty sure I was hearing red-winged blackbirds.
Wow.
And then I saw one.
Oh, you did.
I have confirmation, and the robins have been hopping around the yard.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yep.
And the creeping Charlie's just going gangbusters outside in my garden. Should have done better fall, better. I'm not a fall cleaner upper because I leave my plants up, but I could have still been weeding.
Yeah.
And now that the creeping Charlie is greener than everything else and moving a little more vigorous, it's like, oh, why didn't I get out here before? But that's
yeah,
okay.
Well, hindsight is always 20/20.
So I've been plugging away with getting the plants, you know, yanked out. And I usually just snap mine off. And another reminder, too, to leave those stems, if you can, like 4 to 6 inches still, because there are, you know, beneficial insects that are going to be overwintering. And once your plants take off again, you're not going to notice that little bit of of stalk left down in there. So, but, yeah, it's just been getting cleaned up. We'd have the Christmas tree out for the birds, and that was in an area where some daylilies come up, so I had to get that moved out of there. But boy, they sure loved having that extra cover and perching.
Oh, sure.
In the wintertime, that was a fun use of the tree after it went back outside.
So with all this weather and this anticipation of spring and gardens and flowers and all that, have you been ordering up all the seeds and getting all that ready for planting?
Yeah, so Ryan, of course, my sweetheart, is the gardener of the food. He's our food grower. He does such a great job. And so he had been very anxiously awaiting his seed order, and aside from a few back-ordered things, was able to finally go and get those picked up. So, yeah, he's been busy. He planted yesterday, and he's been getting the ground cover, and now he's outside right now actually building frames to do some row covers to keep the, you know, soil warmer to protect the plants once they get out of the greenhouse and into the ground. And then if there's, you know, if we get that cold snap, just to keep that warmer. So he's been busy getting all of that done. And me, I've just been wandering around my yard every day seeing what's up. I saw some little meadow rue popped up yesterday, so that was exciting. And there's some agastache that's coming along, and the daylilies are up and looking great. I found yesterday when I was cleaning out some more of the creeping Charlie, the a peony that I had moved last year to a new spot looks like it's doing great. So I'm hoping I'll finally get some blooms on that this year, that it's happier and it's new home.
Better place. All that.
Yes.
Yeah.
One thing I found interesting is it doesn't seem like the trees are as far along. Like, we've got some big, you know, maples and that, and they always seem to kind of bud out earlier. And I'm not seeing the buds expand as much. And maybe because we've had some of these
really
cooler
colds
days now again. Yeah. So I just thought that was kind of an interesting.
Well, over the next couple of days, Sandra, because the temperature is going to be pretty warm, they'll probably start budding out pretty quick.
They'll be popping now, right?
I would think so. I would hope so. And I hope that this isn't a flash in the pan, that this warm weather is something that sticks for a while.
Yeah. Well, and you know, it was interesting. We talked last month about, you know, in like a lamb out like a lion, but that didn't really happen other than it's just been so windy, but that's normal for spring.
And yeah. I still think we ought to call this Wiscota.
Yeah.
Because the wind, it seems like it blows constantly, and it's not just a little bit.
Yeah, it's been windy.
Pretty nuts. I'll tell you what, it's raising Cain with the banner on my building for the support the Amory Warriors banner.
I bet it is.
Keep it tied down. It just pulls right out of the ground because the ground's wet and it lets loose. And
with these longer days, it's time if folks want to get out and start fertilizing the house plants. I thought of fertilizing mine, and my house plants. Anthony planted some avocado seeds some years back, and the one is so big, I'm like, I don't know if I want to fertilize this thing and help it. It's growing like crazy, and we have a lemon tree which has a couple lemons on it right now, and then it's covered in blooms, which they always smell so amazing. But this thing is getting huge in my house. I'm like, we're going to need an atrium here pretty soon. But so I'm almost leery to fertilize some of the things because, like, oh my word. But
well, where is it all going to go?
know. Exactly.
You'll just have to build on an atrium, you know.
I would love it. So now's the time. And then get those tree guards off if you didn't do that in March. Time to get the tree guards off your trees outside, or if you use tree wrap, and get that off. And then, get that mulch down. If you like to use mulch before those weeds get crazy, get them cleaned up and get the mulch out there. So it's time. It's all the gardeners who've been waiting. It's time. Abrahamson's is open Monday through Friday now, 9 to 6, Saturdays 9 to 5, and Sunday 10 to 4 at all three of their locations. So if you want to get out and get a fix, you know, they have such beautiful greenhouses walk through. It's, you don't need to make a trip all the way to the cities or anything, and you can get in that nice greenhouse and take in all the plants. Dragonfly Gardens is not open yet from what I can tell, but they have their bare root sale goes on in the spring, and it's past the time to pre-order, mm-hmm. but that bare root sale will start, I think it's April 23rd.
Okay.
And one thing for folks, if you're not sure, if you don't know what bare root is, it means you just buy the plant. There's no soil, there's no pot, and it's typically, woody plant material, so trees, fruit trees, and shrubs.
Okay.
And you pay, 40% of the price. It's because they haven't had to handle it again and pot it and, have the soil and take care of it and all this. So it stays, it's a dormant plant. And then, and they'll give you, your planting instructions. The main thing is when you go to pick up your stuff, bring garbage bags or a tarp because you're just getting this plant. But some plants transplant better that way because they're not having to adjust one soil type.
Sure.
To another, like they're not going from the nursery mix to whatever's in your yard. They're growing immediately into that soil that you have on your property. And then I was looking too, Dragonfly Gardens is always, focused a lot on the native mm-hmm. plant material, which is very important. Like Anthony's bee talk today, we want to get those pollinators taken care of. And I noticed, which was exciting because these are hard to find, and now with Funky Gardens not being around anymore, it looks like they've got a lot of woodland plants now. I was really happy. I looked through their list just briefly. I didn't spend a ton of time on it, but enough to see, they had some Jack in the Pulpit and some of the wild leeks or the native, the ramps that are going to be coming up. And so I was excited. I was excited to see that.
Well, I know that Dragonfly Gardens also has these, and I don't know how they come or whatever, but they has these kits for Victory Gardens through the Farm Table.
Yep, so Dragonfly Gardens is teamed up with Farm Table and Hungry Turtle Farm, and you get 48 starts, vegetable starts, for only $40. And then they're also doing, and that's less than a dollar a plant. Okay, I know I can't do a promo, but that's just acknowledging that's pretty amazing price.
It is.
But so they've teamed up with them. So what's great about this is they're also offering these tutorials. So they started this last year, and it was very successful. And so like every week or something, you get a video to help you to grow. So now this year they're going to do those lessons on a little bit of more of an intermediate level.
Mm-hmm.
But for beginner gardeners, they're going to have last year's introductory videos also available. So you're not just getting these plants, you're getting this knowledge. So I thought it was really interesting, and what a great idea.
Yeah, really
so
is.
So if folks are interested in that, I'm not sure. I think you would go through Dragonfly. I'm sure you could get information through the Farm Table Foundation.
Sure.
As well. And I think they did pre-sales on those, so I didn't talk with anybody at Dragonfly Gardens. I was getting information off of
their website
and their Facebook page. But once I looked more into it, it was like, wow, this is really cool, because the fact that you're able to get those classes. So if people are wanting to learn and feeling intimidated, what a great way. You have a small investment to start, and then they're going to help you to learn how to do it. I just think it's great.
It is great. And the nice thing about it is they do their own right behind the farm table in the parking lot. So they'll have their own victory garden in the parking lot. They did it last year, and it was fun to watch it grow. Really
well,
was.
And it's so cool. There again, that's softening those edges in town.
Yep.
You've got this area surrounded by asphalt and concrete and buildings,
yeah.
And then here's this awesome garden, and it really gives you an idea of how that can change the landscape and soften
yep.
up, soften the edges. I don't know any other way to say it, really, you know.
That's the best way to say it. And the thing about it is everybody can watch it because everybody comes downtown.
Yeah.
I mean, even this year with the construction, as a matter of fact, it'll be easier this year because one of the detours goes right past that garden.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, you'll be able to see it no problem at all.
That'll be cool. Yeah, I was impressed. I was looking, what brought me to their website this morning was a friend had shared on Facebook a pruning chart. Mm. That Dragonfly Gardens had put out, and I wanted to find that again because it was a really good one.
Yeah.
And once I got onto their Facebook mat and their website, they have so much information. Like, they're linking to all these things going on. Like, for example, coming up, if people are interested in learning more about the pollinator gardens, there's a free Zoom webinar through the Wisconsin Horticulture Extension on pollinator gardens. And that's going to be coming up. It's Tuesday, April 6th. And you can find the link to that through the Dragonfly Gardens Facebook page, and or the Horticulture Extension, of course, but
sure.
Might be just as easy to do that. So I was impressed with how much they offered for information for people.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
This, like, for example, now is the time, like, for your fruit trees to get out there and get those pruned. I know they've been working hard at the orchard. And, of course, with pruning, it's always when to prune and what to prune when.
Because
certain things,
yeah.
like right now, are going to be, you know, the maple and the birch and the dogwood and the elm and the yellowwood, they're going to be bleeding or, you know, all the sap's coming out.
Yep.
You know, it doesn't harm the tree, but you could do those trees in late fall or early winter instead.
Uh-huh.
Or after the new growth is finished. But most people get out and, like, get their, you know, fruit trees cleaned up this time of year. But it has this really nice chart, which I printed off, that's got, it shows in red what would get pruned off.
Oh.
And then it shows in black what would get left behind. So it's one of the best charts I've seen, and it's from the University of Maryland Extension.
Okay.
And then it continued on. There's a whole article on when to prune and tree tips and all these things. And it was just such a great resource to have come across. And then it shows how to prune properly, because that's a big thing, too. If you leave a big part of the branch sticking out, well, the tree can't heal over that. And then there's what's called the branch collar, which, if you look where the branch comes out of the trunk, it's like a ring that goes around.
Yeah.
You don't want to damage that either. So it's that getting as close to the branch collar as you can without damaging that. So great resources available through the University of Maryland Extension, through Dragonfly Gardens. Also, speaking of the, you know, pollinators and natives, there's Landscape Alternatives will be opening up just across the river, which we had Roy on. I think he was my very first guest.
I think that's right.
And that was so much fun. And I know he's, you know, he last year anyway was following, you know, had protocol for people to be able to move about the nursery, you know, safely and whatever.
Sure.
So
sure.
People can get a hold of them to find out what that information is. So, yeah, let's see. How are we doing on time? We've got a little bit of time left.
Yep.
What do I want to do here? Oh, it's going to be time, you know, to get a hold of your CSA farmers.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Pike Hole, there's LTD Farm, Steady Hand. I mean, we're blessed with such great growers of good food around here. We're so lucky. And the meat, the Johnson Family Pastures. And then now, too, with Wildflower right in town, if you don't want to commit to a CSA where you're going to get this, you know, big box every month and, oh, what am I going to do with it? And, if, you know, don't know how to use all the vegetables or whatever. You can go to Wildflower and she'll have, you can pick then everything, you know, you want. And she's, you know, getting more and more things from local folks and local meat being available too. And so Wildflower, you know, Tessa's just great and would love to see you stop in, I'm sure, and you can check out what she's,
you know,
what
it,
she's
it,
got.
It seems like there's more and more emphasis in this area anyway on local. Keep the foods local, coming from the local farmers, that sort of thing. Just seems to me that there's more of that here than I know of in other places. Maybe
well, why
I'm
wouldn't
wrong.
We want to support each other?
I don't know. I can't imagine.
So it's, yeah, we need to support each other and then you, when you know your farmer, you know how your food's been handled and
exactly.
where it's coming from and
yep.
And well, and not being handled so much. I mean, you think of something you get at the store and how many
oh boy,
hands
yeah.
that's gone through before it gets to you and traveled yeah. and everything else.
Before it ever gets to the store, for goodness sake.
Yes, right.
You know?
Exactly.
I mean, it probably is coming from California or some other place, and that's a lot of handling before it gets to your store. But I guess, you know, food is what it is. If we can get it locally, why would we think about getting it from any other place?
Right.
And they're in the business to make a living. I mean, they'd like to make a living. Probably most of them aren't. Probably have other sources of income. I don't know that. But it can't be a high-profit operation.
Right.
Nonetheless, there it is. They're doing it, and that's because they love it.
Yes. Yeah, so get out. You can do your Victory Garden, or you can go support the CSA people or go to Wildflower and all good ways to get nice, yummy, fresh food and,
exactly.
and support the community because the Victory Garden, that's all about community gardening as well and that's
yes.
part of them doing their videos and things is networking and offering support to people out there. So.
Well, you know, and I like to think of it this way with the COVID thing. Because we're so shut down, because we're so locked in and so forth, isn't that a good opportunity to really build the community feeling?
Right.
I mean, I think it's just a godsend kind of opportunity that maybe we didn't think about when it started.
Sure. Well, I'll spare you from the Latin
aww.
Lesson today, but I'm going to share. So there is a book called The Language of Flowers.
Okay.
And so back in Victorian times, I have my notes written down. I was going to give the name of the author, and I don't know what I did with my book. Sorry, everyone. Anyway, The Language of Flowers, here it is, by Vanessa Diffenbaugh. And it's a great story, but at any rate. So in Victorian times, people would use flowers to send a message. To give messages, so
sure.
hence the language of flowers.
Yeah.
And I thought it was really interesting. So I looked up a few of the spring flowers. So forsythia, for example, which is such a fun plant because you can go out and trim the branches in late winter or now and bring them into your house and put them in a vase of water, and then the flowers will open because the flowers open before the leaves come.
Ah, okay.
So, but the meaning in the language of flowers for forsythia is anticipation.
Ah.
And I just thought that was great because when you're anticipating spring and you can't wait and you can go out there and late winter and cut this forsythia and bring it in and it gives you like a burst of spring inside your home.
Gives you a little taste of what's to come.
Yes. And then I looked up daffodil, which I'll slip in a little Latin here, which is narcissus. But daffodil means new beginnings.
Oh.
And what is spring if not a new beginning?
Beginning?
We're at the beginning of the astrological year and the beginning of all the new growth and everything that's happening after this long dormancy. And then tulips, so you get folks can keep this in mind when you're getting flowers for your sweethearts. Declaration of love.
Aha, okay.
Sorry, roses.
Tulip comes first, I know.
Tulip's got it, too. So,
okay.
But I just thought that was just fun. And so
it is fun.
people can look into the language of flowers, and you could pick out a bouquet or put something together just based on the messages that you want to send to your loved ones or to yourself, or for that matter.
Sure.
So,
well, we're out of time.
Darn it.
I know. Bring back the Latin, would you?
Hey, I never thought I'd hear you say that, but sure.
I never thought I'd say it either, but there you are.
I will. Well, it is important. You have to know exactly what you've got.
And sometimes they're
just fun.
They are always fun. Sometimes they don't sound anything like what they are. But anyway, thanks for the program. Thanks for keeping us informed of what's going on. And thanks to your guest.
Yes.
Tell him I can't wait till he can come and be on live.
I will let him know. I will pass that on to
All
him.
Right. Thanks a lot, Sandra.
You're welcome, Bob. Thank you.
Sandra the Plant Lady, our guest this morning on the Plant Ranch.